You're listening to New Hampshire Now.
Welcome back. You're on Hampshire Now on 914.50 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. I am Chris Ron. She's joining us for the program. This hour of Hampshire Now is presented by Prescription Center, and this segment of the show brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heat, and Air Conditioning. That's who my family trusts to call for all our plumbing, heat, and air conditioning needs. We encourage you to experience the paradigm shift by checking out ParadigmPH.com. I'm going to be joined on the program right now by the junior U.S. Senator from the great state of Arizona. Of course, the senior senator from Arizona has been on this program many times before, an individual I have tremendous, tremendous respect for, and I'm excited to talk to his good friend, Jeff Flake, for the first time here on the program. Senator Flake, how are you?
Hey, great. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate joining us for the program. So you made a little news. You're coming to the Granite State. And, of course, whenever you touch foot in New Hampshire, particularly in March, as compared to perhaps the summer months, there is going to be speculation that comes with that. You have been a vocal critic of Donald Trump. You've said a lot of things that I really agree with in regards to this president. Is there a thought to challenging him? And obviously things can change, and who knows what's going to be the case in 2020. But is there a thought on your part about the need and the potential for you to challenge him and create a contested Republican primary in 2020?
Well, I do think what there is room for is somebody saying, this is not our party. This is not where we can be and hope to have majorities in Congress or win the presidency again. So I do think that we need to go in a different direction. As for myself, I'm not planning it at this point, but I'm not ruling it out either. I think it's that important. We've got to take our country and our party certainly in a different direction.
So you're kind of taking the wait-and-see approach, so to speak, in regards to, you know, who else may take on, you know, this mantle. Will that be a determining factor, or do you think that you have the skill set, the vision, and the ideas that the Republican Party needs moving forward, and that there may not be somebody to represent and have the voice that you want to have for the party?
We're still early in the process, but I do think that the president will have a challenger in the Republican primary, as well as likely an independent challenger as well. So I don't know who that will be. I can just say at this point, I think that we ought to be articulating where the party needs to go.
I think that's a key point about the independent challenger. We've talked a lot about that over the last couple of days, and you know, John Kasich floating that possibility that there may be an independent run for president, and the potential exists for him to be that candidate. And you look at the makeup of the Republican and Democratic parties at this point in time, and I think that one of the more under-discussed aspects of the last election is that you had a independent in Bernie Sanders, who came in and won the New Hampshire primary here and nearly won the nomination. You have, in my view, an independent in Donald Trump, who came in and won the Republican primary process and the presidency. But in doing so, the parties did not move more towards the center where most Americans are. They moved further to the left and right, in my view. And that is why, in my view, there's going to be a crying out for someone in the center, or someone within the Republican or Democratic parties, to restore them to recognizable form for most Americans.
I share your view completely. There are, I think, a large swath of voters in the middle who are looking for something else. And right now, obviously, President Trump has gone to the right, far to the right. And the Democratic Party, most of the energy is with the far left. And so it's likely that voters will be looking for something else. We're still early in the process, like I said, but I can tell you from those that I talk to and come in contact with, they're saying, this can't be our party. This can't be where we go. When you look at young people, mm-hmm. I think that they've been walking away from the party for years, and now I think they're in a dead run, and I just think that that's got to change.
And I think that one of the major frustrations as well is that individuals, particularly in the middle class, and who are view themselves as being independent or identify a little bit with one party or the other, they vote, they voice their concerns, and they don't see anything ever change in regards to problem solving and solutions. And this debate regarding mass casualty shootings is an example. Healthcare is an example. Immigration is another great example. And they don't necessarily care which party is the one that's in control, as long as everyone works together for solutions that benefit their lives. And those folks have been screaming for results for a long period of time. And to me, again, the election of Donald Trump was a very firm message that was sent that, folks were willing to elect Donald Trump as president of the United States in order to create some sort of a change, whatever baggage that may carry with it.
I think that's right. They're looking for something else, but all we've got now is the worst kind of gridlock we've seen in decades. It's a complete game of shirts and skins right now in Congress, and the big problems, like you talked about, immigration, health care, guns, where there are, solutions that we could come to. We just can't bring ourselves to do it. All the incentives seem to be wrong right now. It's a problem.
I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, in New Hampshire, one of the things that I believe is that our representatives, our senators, for the most part, try to find a way to get to yes. And you look at the debate over Medicaid expansion reauthorization, which is occurring right now in the state legislature. Former Congressman Jeb Bradley is an individual who likes to bring people together and create solutions and to get to yes. It seems that in Washington, one of the most difficult aspects of things is that everyone tries to get to no and to find an out for various reasons. Do you view that as being, a cultural issue in D.C., that people are trying to get to no instead of yes, and that no is more effective in their view for fundraising and other things?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd describe it as cultural, but it's certainly with all the incentives, like I say, driving toward the extremes in the House. You have gerrymandered districts
yes.
where so few are competitive, and so people are running to the extremes. And then media just pushes people to one side or another, and particularly social media, where people can just expose themselves to, whatever their opinion is. And the confirmation bias or echo chamber that is now ever-present really drives people to their corners. And so it's just very difficult. And we're also reaching a time in the Senate. I've only been in the Senate for 6 years, yet I'm, I think, number 63 in seniority. We've had huge turnover in the Senate. More than half of the Senate has just been elected in the last 8 years. And what that means is you have so few, fewer than half, have ever experienced the Senate or, the Congress, either in the House or the Senate, working as it used to in terms of compromise and regular order. And the longer we go and the more people that come and don't experience that and don't know what it's like, the more difficult it is to actually sit down and compromise on legislation.
Right. There's such a lack of meaningful debate and conversation about the key issues, let alone addressing them. Having in-depth analysis and discussion and hearings and debate on the key issues facing the day so that you do have, in fact, some of the brightest minds in the world coming in to discuss things with members of Congress and the United States Senate, and then drawing consensus and figuring out pathways to solutions off of that. Jeff Flake joins us here on the New Hampshire Now program. He is coming to New Hampshire on Friday, March the 16th, speaking at Politics and Eggs, of course, a popular First in the Nation stop for prospective presidential candidates. Senator Flake joins us on the program. I wanted to ask you about the Trump presidency as compared to what you thought it was going to be. And again, I think that judging any presidency in the current context of time, can be problematic. And a lot of the effects, positive and negative, you will see, over the course of time. Certainly there's, the day-to-day tweets, the devaluing of the office, the things that stand out to us about the president's behavior and how he acts as president. But in terms of the policy side and the America's role in the world aspect of things, how do you judge this president?
Well, I didn't support him during the campaign.
Right.
In terms of policy and demeanor and comportment, I didn't think he was what we should go for. I had hoped, regardless of that, that when he became president, that he would pivot somehow and want to govern and reach across the aisle. He hasn't really. The legislative achievements that we have been done really by just Republicans pushing forward under rules of reconciliation, where we just need a bare majority. I'm in favor of tax reform and a more conducive tax and regulatory environment and judiciary. We've had some good conservative judges appointed. As a conservative, I like that. But that's about where it ends, and some of the long-term trends really have me concerned. On trade, for example, pulling out of the TPP was a huge mistake that will haunt us for a long time. If we exit NAFTA, that will be another big mistake. In terms of our role in the world, I chair the Africa Subcommittee.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone more than a year, and we still haven't even nominated an Assistant Secretary for Africa. And a lot of these countries where we develop relationships, long-term relationships, with which allow us security and intelligence sharing, we're neglecting that. And that will have long-term implications. I just returned from the Middle East last week, and there's great concern about the lack of American leadership, the skepticism of these international institutions that we have built over the last several decades that we're now running away from. And that has long-term implications, I'm afraid.
The story about Jared Kushner in the Washington Post, to me, was really intriguing, and one of the topics of conversation that really gets, in my view, cast aside as the administration and media kind of floods the zone with other stories. And of course, there was a grave concern about Hillary Clinton. Some things were founded, some were unfounded, in regards to the Clintons and corruption and what may come from her becoming your president of the United States. But here you've seen continually there being little to no line drawn between the business interests of the Trumps and the Kushners and the policy of the United States of America. And countries across the world are clearly noticing that and have noticed that over a period of time. I've been concerned about how Mar-a-Lago is, and Westminster and entities such as that are essentially real-life pay-to-play operations. If I was a high-priced lobbyist, I would definitely get a membership to Mar-a-Lago and see if I could bump elbows with the President of the United States at the 19th hole and talk policy with him. These things should not take place.
Right. I think it's come to a head just in the last couple of days with the security clearances or lack thereof for those of the president's family. We should have never come to a point where individuals were involved and had access to the nation's top secrets without a genuine clearance. And that's very troubling. And hopefully we're moving forward in a different direction. And I am concerned about the hollowing out of the State Department and just in terms of the talent that's been there. We're losing a lot of top career foreign service officers and diplomats that have helped guide our image abroad. And like I said, these things have long-term implications, and I'm concerned about where we are.
In conclusion, Robert Mueller's investigation continues on, and obviously we don't know what will be the findings of that investigation. And with Republicans controlling the House and the Senate, there is a significant threshold that I assume would have to be passed in order for there to be impeachment and conviction of this president. And as you referenced before, there are a lot of individuals who have lost faith in the Republican Party for not acting as an appropriate check, or Congress as a whole, acting as an appropriate check on this president. without being too speculative, what do you think would be the threshold to meet for impeachment and conviction in regards to Mueller's investigation?
Well, I have great faith in Bob Mueller. I've dealt with him for a number of years in the House and the Senate, when over the past about 18 years.
Yeah.
And I think he ought to be allowed, as he is right now, to continue his investigation. If the president were to remove Mueller, I think that would certainly be met with great resistance on Capitol Hill. I don't think the president is going to go there. I hope he doesn't. I hope that this investigation reaches its conclusion.
Senator Flake, appreciate joining us for the program. Look forward to seeing you in Hampshire in a couple weeks.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Look forward to it.
All right, Jeff Flake here on Hampshire Now. 1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. Junior Senator from Arizona coming to New Hampshire on March the 16th for Politics and Eggs, and joining us right there here on the New Hampshire Now program. I am Chris Ryan. This hour of the show is presented by the Prescription Center, and that segment of the show brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heat, and Air Conditioning.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now.